Elders are so scared of that. He got two times when he was a child.
Yeah, I did too.
Hey, how are
after
you?
After that, he's been scared.
As you remain seated, we'll be singing Precious Lord Take My Hand, is 474, if you want to join. We'll do the responsive reading now, which is Psalm 107. We'll read through verses 1 through 9. It's on page 830. If you are able, please stand.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord has redeemed from trouble and gathered him from the land, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some wandered in the desert waste, finding no ways to a city in which to dwell.
Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them.
Then in their trouble they cried to the Lord, who delivered them from their distress,
and led them by a straight way till they reach the city in which to dwell.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind.
For the Lord satisfies those who are thirsty, and fills the hungry with good things.
The word of God for the peoples of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
This is our prayer time now. We come before God with our prayers of blessings and concerns and thank God for all the blessings that we receive, and also lift up our burdens and concerns to the throne of grace of God. As a church family and united in faith, God promised that as we unite in faith and lift up our prayers, he will answer our prayers according to his time and his will. So let us boldly go to the throne of grace with our prayers of blessings and concerns. The back side of the bulletin has all our regular prayer requests. If you want to call out any special items or anything new, let us also do that at this time.
Well, I thank God for being able to come to church today.
Thanks be to God for that.
Thank God for that.
Pastor, I'd like to ask you to put Kay Smith back on.
Kenny?
Kay. No, Kay Smith.
Okay.
And Carl Smith. Husband and wife.
Okay.
I can both back on with
this. And Pat, I also request prayer for my sister-in-law. She lost her mother this on Thursday.
What's her name?
Lawson. The last name of the Lawson family.
Lawson.
L-O-S-T-N-E.
Okay, Harry Basur, He still has some issues going on with his breathing problem today, so please keep him in our prayers. They texted me for our prayers this morning. Please continue to pray for George Burgess as he's recovering from his surgery, and also Jane Stuckey that Robert shared with us, his neighbor, and also family of Grace who is grieving the death of their dear one. Are there any special calls? Anybody want to add anything? If not, let us go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, then I will close with a summarized prayer. The scripture says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Loving God, we come before you as your children, trusting in your promises that you will answer our prayers according to your time and your will, that you are always listening to our needs, always seeing what we are going through every day. Thank you, God, for the gift of life with all the blessings and all the things that come with it, along with the burdens and concerns that we have. We come before you, Lord. We look up to you for our needs. You are the source of all good things, and who only desires good things for us. And we come before you. Sometimes some of us are broken in our hearts, and some of us are broken in our minds and in our spirits. And many of us have problems with our bodies, Lord. We come before you for your healing at this time. You are the source of the true healing, and we come before your healing touch at this time, Lord. When we are lonely, you are our friend, and when we go through life's sorrows and difficulties, you give us comfort and peace. We lift up all those who need your protection and guidance, particularly the ones that we have lifted up here today. We thank you for the continued healing for all of our dear ones, particularly we remember Martha and Harry, and all those who are going through treatments at this time. Continue to be with them, heal them. We also lift up George Burgess. Thank you for the healing that you have started giving him. Continue to be with him and heal him, touch him with your healing hand. We thank you for comforting all those who are going through difficult times in their lives, particularly Jane Stuckey and the family of Grace. And also we lift up Kay and Carl Smith as Kay is back in the hospital. Bless them with your healing, Lord. Above all, give them peace and your comforting presence. We pray for Lou's family, the Lawson family that's going through the grief of the death of their dear one. Continue to bless them with your peace and let your presence be there. That will be a comforting presence for them. We pray for all those who are going through various problems with their health and issues and other issues in their personal and family lives. We pray that you will give them the guidance that they need, and the Holy Spirit will give them the wisdom to make the right decisions as they look forward to their future, Lord. We pray for our nation as a whole at this time. We pray for our president, leaders of the Congress and all the governors of the states and many others who make decisions. Bless them with your guidance and wisdom every day, and give them your guidance so that they will be doing the right things at the right time, Lord, especially during this difficult time, particularly in elections and also the pandemic is still going through. We pray that your special hand will guide them, Lord, and strengthen them. We pray for our service workers, our military, our fire, our police, and our grocery clerks and our delivery people, our trash workers, and many, many others who service us on a daily basis. Bless them with your grace and mercy every day, Lord, and give them your wisdom and also your protection. And we pray for their family safety as well. We pray for all those who are working for your kingdom in missionaries and various ways around the world. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to witness your name in this community and around the world through this church, Lord. Help us to be faithful in everything we do here, in our witness, in our giving, in our service to you, in all the things that we do here, Lord. Let your name be lifted up and your name be glorified, and this community will be blessed through the work that we are doing. Help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and in heaven. In today, help us with your presence, Lord, and bless us with your peace. As we meditate on your word and sing your hymns, Lord, let your Spirit, fill our hearts and minds with your peace and joy as we go from this place that will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the right things that we have to do in our lives every day, to witness for your kingdom. Bless us with your presence and guide us, Lord. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The ushers may come forward and take up the offering at this time. Says everybody should give according to what God has given them, because God loves a cheerful giver. Loving God, we thank you for all the blessings that you shower upon us every day. You are the source of all that we have and we are. God, help us to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. Help us, Lord, to be faithful stewards of your abundance and the caretakers of the things that you have helped us to entrust, that you have entrusted to us, Lord. We thank you for all those who were able to give today. And also pray for those who could not give today also. We pray that your love covers them with your protection and safety every day, Lord. May all these offerings that we have given here today bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be, as you remain standing, we will read the scripture, which is taken from the book of 2 Samuel chapter 9 verses 1 through 13. David asked, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before God, before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. Where is he?" The king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel in Lodebar." So King David had him brought from Lodebar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at the table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this morning that you have given us together, Lord, to worship you and praise you. And we come before your word, the word that you have given us to be life and spirit in our lives, so that we can be life and spirit to this world. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to this world as we listen to your word, to receive that word in humility and in obedience, so that whatever your word ask us to do, help us to be obedient to follow that and practice that in our lives so that it will become a blessing to this world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Remembered, rescued and restored. The story of Mephibosheth is a very minor story in the Bible that many of us probably don't know. But we have preached about King Saul and King David after that, and King David's son Jonathan, who had a good friendship, a close friendship with David. And we talked about how David was anointed king while Saul was still on the throne. And then David killed Goliath, and people started supporting David and singing praises to him, and King Saul was afraid that David will probably take over the throne, and he started ways or attempts to kill David in several ways. But surprisingly, King Saul's son Jonathan had this close relationship, a friendship with David, so that saved David's life several times, because he would tell David the ways or the plots that his father Saul was doing to kill David, and David could escape and hide. And eventually the Philistines came and attacked Israel, and King Saul and his son Jonathan, who were both in the war, were killed, and David eventually became the king. And the story, we talked about that before. But when David became king, naturally Saul's family would be hiding, because they would be afraid of their life, because the successor David was always a target of King Saul. So they thought that King Saul's family probably thought that they were going to be attacked or killed by King David. But King David was very different. David was very different from any other king, and that's why he became the greatest king of Israel in history. And he always had God's mercy and grace upon him, and he knew that he is on the throne because God has a plan for him, not because of his merits, not because of his abilities. And we all know that he had no ability like fighting in the war. He was a very small shepherd boy when God called him. But he killed Goliath, because he killed him with a stone and a sling, which the soldiers of Saul could not do it. But he had the faith in God that, unlike any other people at that time, he had strong faith in God, that with the faith in God, he believed that he could do and overcome any difficulties, any evil or any enemy. So David became king, and all the family of Saul were hiding in different places, but David was looking to give him mercy instead of giving revenge, because of his enemy, Saul's enmity with him, and the trouble that Saul gave him when he was alive. One of them was a crippled guy by name Mephibosheth, and it's a very funny name. And he was hiding in a very small town called Lodebar. We come to that later, because he didn't want to be visible, and he didn't want to get caught by David, because he was afraid of his life. But when David took upon his throne. As we read here, he summoned his chief of staff, Ziba, and told him to find anyone of Jonathan's family that he can show grace and mercy. And Ziba told him that there is a son who lives in Lodebar, and he's crippled in both of his feet, and David said, bring him here. And Ziba went, and his people went, and found Mephibosheth in the city of the town of Lodebar, and then they brought him to David's palace. And naturally, when the soldiers came and told him that the king wants to see you, Mephibosheth was scared to death. He thought he was going to be killed or punished because his grandfather Saul was so mean to David. It gave him a lot of trouble that David had to run for his life several times, and we know that all that story. So Mephibosheth, the crippled guy, was scared to death. And he came and bowed down before David, and David said, don't be afraid. I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. For I will restore to you all the lands that belong to your grandfather Saul. I will restore to you all, and you will eat at my table. So a guy who was scared to death had doesn't deserve anything to find this blessing or to deserve this blessing to be at the palace and to dine at the palace table. He is now being invited and being part of the palace table to dine with the king. This is what the story is all about, a story of rescue and remembering and restoration. Remembrance is something that we all have to pay attention to many times. When we are blessed with many blessings, do we remember the ones who don't have the blessings? And when we are blessed with a position or power, do we care about the people who are powerless and weak? And if you consider that, the rich and the powerful are very few in number, and the weak and the powerless are more. 1 or 2% is what the richest people in this world are, maybe 1 or 2%. And those 1 or 2%, and including the powerful, and when the power comes, they get money too. Or the rich and the powerful, they usually join together to make things happen. But whatever they do will affect the 98 or 97% of the people, who are a lot of people, the majority of the people. But sometimes these people forget, even though I have the power, I am only a minority, and I have to be kind and merciful to the people who are not powerful, being powerless. So David remembered when he became king that he had to be kind and merciful to Jonathan's family and Saul's family, and not to be revengeful and kill everybody. So David sent for Mephibosheth, and he came, and he was lame in both his feet. And we read that in the chapter 4 of 2 Samuel, that this child became crippled when he was 5 years old. The story is that when the Philistines came and started war with Israel, the king Saul and this child's father, Jonathan, they were all in the battle, and the enemy came and invaded the country and took over most of the land, and they were coming to take over. And during that time, the nurse or the babysitter of this little child, the five-year-old boy, took him and ran for her life to save the baby and her life to hide somewhere. On her way to running, she fell with the boy. And that's how the boy became crippled in both the feet. And just for the story's sake, I was just saying that. So that's how this this boy who was living in obscurity, who is crippled in both legs, and he was in poverty and living in a remote barren corner of the village, in a village called Lodebar. It was a demonstration of love toward a man who did not deserve it and could never earn it and would never be able to repay it no matter what. And Mephibosheth knew that, and David knew that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, David, like strong and famous king, reached out to Mephibosheth and the cripple and the outcast, and he expressed his kindness. And these words were an act of grace when he told him that, "Do not be afraid." That is what we all need to hear. The grace of God is compared to, with this grace that David has shown to this little guy by name Mephibosheth. God's love towards us through Jesus Christ is undeserving. We don't deserve it. We have been sinners and we have strayed away from God. But God, in His mercy, sent His Son Jesus Christ and loved us so much that whoever believes in Him have eternal life. That we know that that scripture says that. God's grace promises that we will be remembered, rescued and restored. No matter how far we stray from God, God will never forget us. His grace always comes through us and with us and before us. And that is called prevenient grace, and you might know that. A grace that goes before you, even when you are not aware of it. Sometimes we are not aware of where we are and how many times God's grace has saved us from our dangers, from our difficulties, going straight away from God. God has pulled us back. That is prevenient grace that will bring us back to God even when we are not aware of it. Remembrance is a very interesting thing, that our brain remembers the negative things and the painful things more than the joyful and the blessings. But many times we like to remember the blessings more, but we easily forget the blessings. But we remember the bad things, like you know, if your finger get caught in a restaurant, for example, when I had that one time, I always remember that restaurant because it hurt me so bad. And it is nothing their fault, and it is my fault. I always been careless. But every time I go through there or go to that restaurant, I say, "This is where my finger got caught." But I have eaten so many meals from that restaurant, I can't even remember the meals that I ate from there. That is, our brain is like that. We are wired like that in our brain. And there was a book that I was reading, said, "Praise is fleeting, but brickbats we recall." Praise is fleeting, but brickbats we recall. We are wired, our brain is wired to remember negative emotions, and because the information is processed more thoroughly than positive emotions because of the safety mechanism of our body. So we remember them more. At the same time also, there was an example that he was giving, is that you are more upset about losing $50, then you're happy when you get $50. When you get $50, you don't take it a big deal. But when you lose $50, you might talk about that to somebody, "Yeah, I lost $50. So that is how we are wired. So remembering is a very interesting thing. But David chose to remember the grace of God every time he thinks and he acts. When we are in a position and we are blessed with a blessing, when we use our money, we use our time, and we use our talents, always remember that God has given us this as a gift, and use it for others' blessing, and not to be selfish or self-centered. David remembered him for the reason that the love of Jonathan and the faithfulness that Jonathan had toward David, and he remembered Mephibosheth because of his dad, Jonathan. God looks at us not for the sins that we have committed, but because of Jesus Christ, who took away the sins from us. So when God looks at us, He remembers Jesus Christ, not our good works, but the good work that Jesus Christ died on the cross, because He died for our sins, and God does not remember our sins anymore. And then not only that David remembered, but also he rescued Mephibosheth from where he was. Remember, he was living in a place called Lodebar. Lodebar is a remote place somewhere at that time, and the interesting thing that the name of that city or that little place means nothing. It's nothing comes out of it. So he probably went there to hide from David, and he thought he would never get caught. And another thing about the name Mephibosheth is that the very name of this guy It's very interesting. Maybe they didn't think about the meaning of that name when his mom or dad named him. The name Mephibosheth means shameful. I don't know who would name your baby of such a name. But somehow it happened like that. Mephibosheth, who means shameful, was living in a small place called Lodebar, which means nothing. So in other words, this guy was in a very desperate and very bad situation, and poverty too, at that time. But he was also shameful by the disgrace of the fall of Saul, because Saul was defeated by the Philistines. All of these were against this little guy, and he had nothing to claim of his own merits. He has only to depend on God's grace and the grace of this king. That's all he had. So Mephibosheth was crippled, and he was also living in a place there was nothing to boast about. Let us, God's love is given to us without any conditions. Even though we don't deserve it, God still loves us. We don't have to live in our past. We don't have to live with any labels of lame or Lodebar or Mephibosheth. The world may call us many different names, because they look at our outside. They look at the blemishes and the lames and the handicaps that we have in our bodies, in our minds, in our lives. We may all have different things that we are not very proud of in many ways, not only in our bodies, but in our families, in our personal lives. Many things might have happened. But those are in the past. And we don't have to live in our past and don't get stuck in our past, because God is a merciful God who forgets all of that things. He not only forgives, but he also forgets. Like I always say that, you know, he casts all of our sins in the depth of the sea. That's what the scripture says. Not only he does that, he casts in the depth of the sea, but he also puts a sign saying that no fishing here, because there are people who want to fish it out. And God does not want that. He would not remember anything. And also, David remembered him, David rescued him, and David restored him. Even though David didn't have to do any of these things, Mephibosheth was taken into the palace, and he gave him all the portions that belonged, because he was King Saul's grandson and Jonathan's son. So he had a good amount of portion and property left on his own. But David could have taken it easily. Instead of doing that, he restored everything to this little guy who didn't deserve anything. And he gave him all that he belonged to David and Jonathan. And not only that, he gave him all the things and the blessings of the palace, that you can live in the palace, and you can have servants, and you can eat at the king's table every day. What more can you ask for? We are all sinners. God rescued us, and God remembered us and rescued us. And he not only did that, he restored us so that we can all feast at the heavenly banquet with his son Jesus Christ. That is the symbol that we commemorate or administer or take part every month in our church through our communion. We are all partakers of this bread and this drink. This is a symbol of what we are waiting in heaven one day. In our life beyond this earth, there is a life that God is going to give us with, because his son Jesus Christ, he said, I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and return and take you where I would be, so that we can all be together feasting at the heavenly banquet one day. That is what God did us. In Ephesians, Paul says that God raised up with Jesus Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He gave him a new identity and a new position. God is so merciful that he restored us with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. I was reading a little story about a small church like ours who had a prison ministry. And one Easter Sunday, the church decided to hold a worship service in the prison. And they gave him the permission to do that. And all the prisoners were invited, and they brought into the chapel of the prison, and their families were invited. And in that little country, they were white on Christmas Sunday. I mean, on Easter Sunday. They all were white. In many countries, they do that. And the children and the moms and the families of these prisoners, they all came in white and to celebrate the Easter Sunday with their dear ones, mostly men. And you know, they don't give white garments in the prison many places. They give you yellow or some kind of orange or kind of things like that. And all these families were brought together through one door in the front, and all the prisoners were brought from the other side, from the outside, from the inside, with their prison jackets and prison dress. And you can clearly see the two different people. You look at the congregation. But when they sang praises and Easter hymns and celebrated the Easter Sunday with singing and prayers and thanksgiving with families and prisoners together, there was no difference. There was no difference because one is a prisoner and one is a not prisoner. There was no difference in front of God. They sang praises together. At the end of the service, this person was writing that the sad thing, the saddest thing was that these prisoners were taken again back through one door, and the families and the children were taken outside through the front door. Nobody could prevent that. But in heaven, God has given us no doors anymore. There are no limitations. That we can always be together because we are all forgiven. And we are not prisoners of sin or death anymore. We have all been forgiven by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. That we will not have to separate ourselves through two different doors. But we have been given because we are all the children of God. Through Christ, we know that we all have been forgiven. And we want to extend that love and acceptance to others. It is good to know that God counts everyone worthy to become His child. His child in spite of their past or what they have done or their families have done. May the good Lord bless us with these words to be remembering others, to be kind, to rescue others. Not only that, invite others to this restoration so that we can all feast together and be part of the heavenly banquet one day. May the good Lord bless us these words as we go from this place. Amen. Closing hymn is Amazing Grace, which is 378 verses 1, 2, 3 and 6.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
praise God.
Praise God.
People of God, know in trusting the promise that God has promised that He would carry us on His shoulders. And He can turn even the very painful things in our lives to our blessings.
Yes.
And He can use them to bring to you and us so that we might be restored, being sons and daughters again, no matter what our past had been. So go in the knowledge and the peace of God that gives us the promise of a better future. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.